Matthew 18 from verse 21. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, Pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, Have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Straight over to Don Bernardo.
Great. Well, I'm very loud because I've got two microphones on here. Allow me to add my welcome to Mikey's. If we've not met before, my name is Tom. In fact, if we have met before, my name is also Tom, but I'm on the staff team here at St. Nick's. So thank you for joining us this lunchtime. Now, I want you to imagine it's a sunny summer Sunday. It's a sunny summer Sunday at your church. And it's a classic summer Sunday. There's some random guy who's preaching, probably on a psalm, and there's basically nobody else at the church. You know, everyone is on their holidays. But because it is that Sunday, and because you're low in number, and because you're kind of rattling round the church, you know, there are vast sort of areas of empty seats, you kind of feel obliged to actually sit with one another. And so you drop off the family, you drop the kids in creche, and you go and sit with someone new at the church. But as you shuffle down the row to greet this Christian brother, as you take your seat on what will, of course, be the far left-hand side of the church, because for reasons that no one knows, you can never really sit in the middle, your heart sinks as you recognize the identity of this brother. This is Tricky Steve, well-known within the church. And the thing with Steve, it's like he tries his best to be offensive. He upsets people regularly. He's always upsetting people in the church. Oh, Stevie would be mortified to think he was offensive, but he just rubs people up the wrong way. Always, he is stepping on people's toes at your church. And what is more, Steve often lies. Oh, sometimes he's offensive, but more often he sort of lets people down at church. He says that he will help, that he'll clear up, he will, I don't know, stack the Bibles, but he doesn't stay. And you're the one who's left to clear up the church. Maybe you've got a sort of Steve in your mind as I'm saying this. What are you to do when once again he says he's sorry? That he's sorry that he just bolted after church. What are you to do when once again he says he's sorry and he's going to make it up to you? He really wants to keep on serving at your church. Well, this lunchtime we're continuing our look at Jesus' teaching. Jesus' teaching here in Matthew chapter 18. And Jesus has been teaching us about life in his family, his kingdom, in his people, in his church. I think we actually get that down in verse 21, don't we? So verse 21, Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother, my Christian brother, sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Do you get the question? How often do I have to forgive tricky Steve, Jesus? How often do I have to forgive a brother or a sister in the church? Now, seven times was actually quite generous by Peter. It was three or four that was the expectation in his day. Just confirming this for Jesus would have been a really massive statement. It was double what his contemporaries were teaching in his day. Three or four is what the rabbis were saying. But just look down at verse 22, okay? Here's the answer from Jesus. Remember, three or four was expected in his day. Verse 22, Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Now, Peter, you can't just limit your forgiveness in this way. 77, just a massive number. And then he tells this parable, a tale about a servant, to show us why we should act in this way, why we should show such mercy to a contrite Christian brother, why we should forgive them, or why we should treat Steve in this way. And you'll see from on the handout, there are 2 points from this parable. Here is why, if we're Christians, we should forgive others today. Point one, we have been shown mercy. And so we should, secondly, show others mercy. And that's what we're going to be seeing from our verses this lunchtime. So let's think then about the first point. We have been shown mercy. And I'm going to read again from verse 23. Therefore, says Jesus, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he couldn't pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and a payment to be made. So here then is the parable. A king calls in a servant. The servant is in debt to him, and the king wants him to pay. The value of the debt he owes, 10,000, verse 24, talents. That is almost 20 billion pounds today. It took me quite a while to do this maths, actually. In fact, I had to get help from someone else in the office. But a talent, I'm told, is around 80 pounds of gold, or possibly silver. A quick Google will tell you that gold is going at about £1,500 an ounce today. I think it's, you know, £1,495.57 or something like that. 16 ounces to the pound, and here are 10,000 talents. That is almost 20 billion pounds today. You can do the maths when you head back to your offices. This is just an enormous debt. 10,000, verse 24, talents. This servant, this manual laborer, is never, ever, ever going to be able to pay. He never will be able to pay even half a talent. I mean, half a talent would be £1 million today. You could get a one-bedroom flat in Clapham for that. And so he falls on his face, and he begs his royal master. Verse 26, he says, look, I promise I will pay. I'll make it up to you. He pleads to be shown mercy, to be shown patience by his master. He implores him, doesn't he, for even just a temporary delay. Verse 26, the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay. Totally unrealistic, isn't it? I'm going to pay. But note how he responds to this request, this royal master. Verse 27, the master of that servant forgave. He released him. He forgave him. He was owed 10,000 talents, 20 billion pounds, but he just wrote it off. He said it doesn't need to be repaid. How do you think he felt when he went home that day, this servant, knowing now that his debt didn't have to be repaid. Knowing that his debt had now been cleared, he'd been shown mercy, been shown pity in the language of verse 27. The king forgave. I mean, he must have been buzzing, mustn't he? That night, absolutely buzzing. A few hours ago, he thought he was going to be made a slave. Verse 25, that's the way you claimed a debt in the ancient world. He thought his whole family, his wife and children, were going to be sold as slaves. But now he's been forgiven. Been forgiven by his master out of love and out of pity. He forgave. And now he has this freedom. He's been set free by his master in his love and in his mercy. He forgave. Verse 33, I had mercy on you, says his master. I had mercy on you. We'll come back to that verse in a minute. And the point Jesus is making is that we have been forgiven. If we're Christians, we have been shown mercy in this way. And that we have been shown mercy. We've been forgiven by our Father. God, our Heavenly Father, has treated us in a similar way. It's one of the first things we actually learn about Jesus, isn't it, as we open up Matthew's Gospel. He has come, chapter 1, verse 21, to save his people from their sins. That's why he goes to the cross. The climax of the Gospel, this, says Jesus, my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins. The many ways that we've done wrong, forgiven by our Father. The many ways that we've rebelled against him. The many ways we've left ourselves kind of indebted to our Father. All the glory that we've shamelessly stolen from him in our words or actions or thoughts or whatever. Well, we have been shown mercy, says Jesus. We have been forgiven by our Father. He has cleared the debt that you and I owed him. And we have been released, reconciled to our Heavenly Father. And remarkably, he now calls us sons of him. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. We have been shown mercy. That is our first point. We have been shown extraordinary mercy by God. And yet there's more to say than we've been forgiven by our Father. And there's more to say, in fact, than we have been shown mercy. Because knowing we're forgiven, says Jesus, knowing we've been shown mercy by our Father, well, it should lead us to show others mercy. And we're on to the second point on the handout. We should show our brother mercy. Mercy, verse 28, have a look down. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. Now this servant, he's accrued a debt of something like £5,000. It's a decent sum, might be a lot for you and me. But put that in the context of what this first servant has been forgiven. This first servant is totally, totally paltry, isn't it? Again, math's not my strong point, but I think it's something like 0.00025% of a £20 billion debt. Put it into context, it is totally paltry. And yet he chokes his fellow servant. And he seizes him, he grabs him, shakes him, pay back, he says, all of the money that you owe me. And yet he's so unlike this king. the mercy of his master is just lost on him. He's so very angry. Verse 27, his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, I will pay you." He refused and went and put him into prison until he should pay the debt. Can you see how it's outrageous? In the light of what his master has forgiven him, how he has been shown mercy, you know, to treat a fellow servant with this viciousness, brutality, it is a wicked thing, isn't it? Absolute insanity. And that's actually how the parable ends, isn't it? Verse 31, when his fellow servants saw what they had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Verse 32, then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in his anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also, verse 35, my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. The point Jesus is making is that we have been shown mercy. By the grace of God, if I'm a Christian, he has forgiven me. And when it comes to God, I have offended him more greatly than how any Christian brother could possibly have offended me. So I'm to come back to Steve, to Tricky Steve, who I mentioned at the beginning. He may very well have appallingly treated me. He might have lied to me, insulted me. He might owe me some money. He might have upset my wife. He might have been rude to Emily. Perish the thought. And we may have seen this pattern of sin and then contrition. And we may have seen it very many times. It's so easy, isn't it, to spot patterns of sin in other people's lives when you're part of a church. But Jesus says, forgive him. It is worse how you have treated me. I mean, it's worse how you've offended against God. And yet God's shown you mercy. He has paid my debt. He has forgiven me. We have been forgiven far, far more by God. Verse 35, I'm to forgive my brother from my heart, totally, completely, in a manner that sort of emulates God. Now again, we need to be clear. This does not mean when activity is abusive or is sordid and isn't going to stop, that you need to put yourself back into danger. Such activity is clearly acceptable, and obviously it should stop. If you are in danger, if you find yourself in danger, obviously you should flee to safety. End of. I don't think this passage is talking about that situation. And it's interesting, isn't it? This servant seems to show some recognition, recognizes he's offended against God, or at least he recognizes he's offended his brother, verse 29, have patience with me. He sort of acknowledges that he's done something wrong. But when a Christian brother is repentant and he's penitent, he's sorry for his sin, both against God, but also against you, against his brother or his sister, Jesus says, forgive him. You've been shown mercy by God. Verse 35, forgive your brother from your heart. And you might like to discuss around your tables in a moment what that looks like. Now, as we close, I want to say, this is an awesome vision of a family that truly honors God. And as we close, I want to say there is no better family to be a part of than this, the family of God. Douglas Murray, the social commentator, who some of you will know I quite enjoy reading, has this really damning phrase in his latest book. He says this: we have created a world in which forgiveness has become impossible. Just think about that for a moment. We have created a world, he says, in which forgiveness has become impossible. And he's right, I think. That is exactly the world we've got, where sometimes, in fact, there's an incentive not to forgive, to be the victim. This is exactly the kind of mucked up world that we've got. Well, what a better way of life we find in Jesus' family, a family full of people who treat one another like God, forgive each other. Where others are shown mercy, there's forgiveness and repentance. This is by far the best way of life, and it is only to be found in the family of God. Let me pray, and then I'll hand back to Mikey. Our Father, we want to thank you this lunchtime for the extraordinary mercy that you have shown to us. We thank you for sending the Lord Jesus to earth to pay the full debt that we owed you, to reconcile us to you. And we want to ask that you would help us to appreciate increasingly just what he had to do to reconcile us to you. Please help us to appreciate the extraordinary extent of your mercy. And we pray that as we do that, Father, that would put others' offenses into perspective for us. We pray that forgiveness, reconciliation would be real marks of the family of God, would be marks of the churches we belong to, our Christian networks, be a mark of the St. Nick's talks. And we pray that other people might be attracted to the gospel. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.